Welcome, welcome. Welcome back to the Behind the 90 with Nika. I want to always explain what the 90 means, because often people ask me that question. What does the 90% mean? And so often what I tell people as a mental health professional, when I have couples and they say, we have communication problems. And I say, no, communication is not the problem. Communication is symptomatic of something way bigger. So 90% of what we go through in life is about our past. And only 10% is about the here and now. So that 90% represents a person's story. And we should all be willing to tap into a person's story before we make judgment. So welcome. Today's guest, here's the thing, I have a lot of special guests. But this guest right here, you know, we have a very special relationship. And some people are confused by our relationship. And so the title of this episode is a part two. Our episode two was My Three Parents Growing Up in a Blended Family. So this is part two because now this is the meeting of the moms. So I am Marcus' stepmom. And although we never use that word, but for the sake of distinction, I am his stepmom. But the woman responsible for giving him birth is sitting right in front of me. And her name is Millicent. So I am so happy to have her here because the people often wonder, like, how do you guys do it? We see people sometimes scratching their head in amazement because we are really good friends. I mean, she's one of my best friends. So welcome, Millicent.
Thank you for having me. Hi.
Hi. And this is how we are normally, giggly and silly and, you know, just all of that good stuff. You know, things that you need people in your life like Millicent.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. So tell them how we finally met.
Okay. Well, in short, and it's funny because with the segment with Marcus, and then we talked about it afterward, I was reminded that you reminded me of the first time we crossed paths. And it was at a social event. But the first time that it's like we crossed paths and you were really on my radar and I realized, oh, this lady is very, very significant, it was Marcus's baptism. Mm-hmm. And by then, both of us, you know, his dad and I were both in, you know, really, we'd moved on. We were in relationships and I was at the church for the baptism. And when you brought forward and announced as, you know, the godmother, I was like, oh, this is a development. And I leaned over to my significant other and I said to him right then and there, I said, he's going to ask her to marry him because wow. I know him well enough. You know, he's good people. He's a wonderful person. And there's no way he would not have somebody take on such a significant role in our son's life unless it was a really, really serious and significant development. Mm-hmm. So that was the first time that it really I took note. I was like, oh, wow. Okay. Wow. Okay.
So let me ask you this though. Knowing that I was called to be Marcus' godmother, you weren't aware of that. Were you not aware of that?
No, I was not aware until the baptism. But prior to that, mm-hmm. I was aware that, you know, that he was seeing someone because Marcus, you know, would come to my house and every once. And then after a while, I took note of him referring to my Nika. He was very young, but he claimed you then. He was like, my Nika. It was always my Nika, my Nika,
oh
my Nika.
God.
Like
baby.
One word. It was like, my Nika.
My Nika.
Yeah, my Nika. And that was his reference for wow. you. So basically he had claimed you. I mean, it was a, you know, for him, it was a done deal. It was like, no, my Nika. That was it. My Nika.
So you and, knew something.
Yes.
But we hadn't met yet.
No, not yet. But that was when it really started to click for me. I was like, oh, okay, no, this is definitely serious. It's very, very significant. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then I think it was maybe shortly after that. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that sticks out of my mind was a phone call. I remember where I was. I remember where I was sitting. I remember when the phone call came. And it was just the sweetest, coolest thing ever because you called and you're like, hi, my name is Nika, and I realized that, you know, we really had a chance to talk, and you don't really know me, and I think you just started talking right away. I might have said hi, but after that, you just started talking.
I was so nervous. I was so nervous.
It was so cool though, but you just started talking and it was almost like you just kind of gave me like the quick rundown. I was like, you know, hi, I do this for a living and I do this and I'm from here. I mean, I don't even know what you said, but you're just giving me like the whole, like the resume. You're just giving me the rundown of like, you know, hi, here's who I am and here's where I'm coming from. And, you know, I realize you don't know me. And I remember, I didn't want to sound rude, but I remember I started laughing. I didn't mean to, but I just started laughing right in the middle of your, you know, your rendition of your resume.
My resume, right. As I, you know, partake of this interview that you weren't even prepared for.
And I remember I started laughing and I realized, I was like, oh, that's going to sound really weird. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I don't mean to be rude. I was like, I don't want to cut you off. It's just that, you know, I said, I really appreciate you calling. I really appreciate you telling me all of this and sharing this. I said, but really kind of at the end of the day, the thing that, you know, let me know that you were okay is that, you know, Marcus, you know, would come to me, like, you know, when it was, you know, parenting time, he would be with me. And he basically would say, my Nika this, my Nika that. He would refer to you. And yeah, that was his reference to you, mm-hmm, my Nika. So I was already at peace and I was okay with, yeah, okay, yeah, you know, there's something, you know, going on here. I mean, because Marcus accepted you.
Yes.
And that was kind of it for me. So yeah, really you calling was just like this really cool and considerate thing that I appreciated. And I had to kind of laugh also because I'm thinking, you know, if the shoe was on the other foot, that's probably something I would do. Yeah. I would call somebody up and I would just, you know, and I would just be talking a blue streak, you know, and just say, you know, hey, you know, because I would want to, you know, say, hey, I'm on the up and up, you know, I'm really sincere and genuine about this. So it resonated with me right away. So I don't want to say it was overkill, but I was just like, you know what? I'm good. I get it.
That.
And after that, it just kind of took off. And those are like the two significant things that I really remember about us first meeting.
Yeah.
And that was, and it just took off from there.
Yeah, it really did. Like you said, we met at the baptism and that was like in May, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we weren't even engaged. So when Fred asked me to be Marcus's godmother, I'm like, man, she better be asking me to marry him because Marcus is so special and he's still very special to me. Of course, our oldest son.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't give birth to him, but that is my baby. And so I'm like, oh man, I hope he asked me to marry him because it would be kind of awkward if we weren't together and I'm his godmom, right? So come July, he did propose marriage. And I think he probably had a conversation with Marcus about, you know, proposing to me. But there was no doubt in my mind that I knew we would get along,
mm-hmm,
because there was something about your spirit that said to me that we're like-minded in terms of wanting peace.
Oh, yeah.
Wanting unity.
Oh, yeah.
Very like-minded in that way. And so it was an automatic for me, like, you know, that I knew we would get along. And as the years progressed, we just worked together.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the thing is, at the end of the day, and I've said this before and I've shared this with you, but it took a while because I didn't realize that I hadn't expressed this to you, but I appreciate you so much because you came into, you know, your marriage with, you know, with his dad. And we just kind of became this, you know, this unit just kind of became this very organic, really mellow thing.
Yeah.
And I, the only thing I can say is that, you know, you were such a wonderful fit and a part of just everything that we all had as far as parenting goals. I mean, everybody was, you know, you said like-minded, everybody had a goal of, you know, at the time, he was the only child, you know, yeah, among us, to give him the best parenting experience that we could. And that was my commitment,
yeah,
you know, in parenting. Mm-hmm. And that's what I really wanted. And I so appreciated that you came in with that same energy, that same mindset, that same ability of like, hey, you know, we're all going to work together to make sure we give him the best experience that we could. And that gave me so much peace. And I just, because the only thing that I tell people, I so appreciate that we do get along, because my nightmare would have been just,
oh my God,
it would have been very challenging for me is to be in a situation where you've got the adults or the parents and it was acrimonious or it wasn't harmonious or there was just, you know, always tension or it wasn't a good working relationship with everybody, that would be, I don't know if we can, it would have been H-E double hockey sticks for me. That would be, that's my version of hell, basically.
It would have been
awful. And that would be my nightmare. And so I appreciate so much that things worked out the way that they did. So at the end of the day, this is the best fit for everybody involved. And I appreciate you. I appreciate what you brought to the table day one. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you love our son, that you claim him just as much as he claims you that day. Like I said, I was good with it the minute I heard him say my Nika. I was like, I didn't even know all the rest of it. I was at peace. I said, you know what? You know, because this is resonating for him and he's happy. And that gave me peace. And I was okay with it after that. Anything after that was just icing on the cake.
Because when you think about it, like divorce can already be a struggle, right? My parents divorced when I was young. My mother didn't necessarily remarry, but my father did. So the person that he remarried, she wasn't always nice to us, right? It wasn't always a nice situation. And that's not why I was nice to Marcus. I was nice to Marcus because that's just who I am. And he deserves peace, a harmonious environment. So it's just, that's just how I'm wired, right? But the fact that there was no jealousy. You are such a fair individual. The fact that he calls me mom and sometimes we're in the same room, we like both. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
We both.
Yeah, that's happening, but it's actually kind of funny. And then there are times when, and it strikes me as funny. I find a lot of humor in it because he'll say, hey, mom, you'll go, yeah. And then he has to take a beat. He's like, he has to figure out, okay, which one am I talking to? And he has to point, it's like that one.
But does he call you mom?
Yeah.
And he calls me mama.
Oh.
So I think sometimes there's a distinction so that hey, mama.
Okay.
I don't know if he call you mom.
Okay.
I mean, because that's solid.
Right.
Right. So I don't know. And I'm like, okay, because I know he has to kind of make that distinction. We're in the same room sometimes, but I think he kind of learned that, okay, they're in the same room. I got to be able to.
But again, I don't know. I would rather have this than anything else. I find it very amusing, and it's very. I'm content. It gives me peace. And I think I told you the story once before, and I wanted to share it with the audience. Is that I think because we have a good working relationship among the three of us, but then also particularly between the two of you, I will remark to people sometimes. You know, as I'm speaking of the fact that Marcus, has another mom, and again, I'm not inclined to say stepmom either. But again, for the distinction so people understand.
Absolutely.
And I just say, I always love to tell this story. We put together a birthday party for him and he was in grade school. I don't know if it was middle school or grade school, but it was, he was so young. Mm-hmm. And in the middle of the party, both of us are running around, like all the grownups are just running around and arranging mm-hmm. things and getting food out for the kids mm-hmm. or whatever. And I remember one of his friends leaned over to him and I overheard him say, which one's your mom? And he had to explain, go through the explanation. And my takeaway was, one, I was amused. Mm-hmm. And two, that tells me, I think that was maybe the coolest thing I'd heard in a really long time. Because I think it's a testament to the fact that we just have a good working relationship. Because if we're kind of indistinguishable from one another, mm-hmm. I take that as a good sign. Oh, so yeah. I just, that's one of a lot of really cool stories that just really stands out to me. And I think it's like, you know what? I think that means that, we've been giving him a good experience, because if, there doesn't seem to be a huge distinction, then I think I take that as a positive.
Yeah, it's definitely a positive. Like you said, we wouldn't have it any other way. And I think it was really a blessing, because when it came time to pickups or volunteering, Marcus had these options, and we would, when he was in elementary, middle, high school, it's funny because we could have did it separately sometimes, but we would always want to do it together.
Oh, no. That was way more fun for me.
It was so much more fun.
And here's the thing. Okay, anyway, here's the thing. You're way more outgoing and chatty with people, and it's a lot harder for me to have a conversation with people. So actually, if anything, it helped me, because I was like, okay, great. I can get the volunteering done, and she's just going to run with
she's
it.
She's going to run her mouth like she do.
Right. And I'm just,
But we would have so much fun.
That's a blast.
Doing that. Like you said, throughout his, you know, his elementary, middle school, and high school. It was really, I think our bond got even stronger because we wanted to, I think it was nice for him to see that. I think it was just a norm for him. He didn't know any different. He didn't know fighting. He didn't know any of that. And like you said, it wasn't in us to do it. But when you think about it, it made me even more purposeful to give him to do things. Not that I was being, you know, not genuine, but for him to see certain things, being more intentional to do certain things around him so that he can be constantly reminded that we got you. This is about you, but it's about us too.
Right.
Because who wants to be in a situation where there's turmoil and fighting? It's just not.
Yeah, I think the unfortunate thing is that it's almost like there's more of a common, people are more inclined to accept or maybe expect that there's going to be animosity, you know, among, you know, the parents or the grown-ups or in a blended family that people aren't going to get along. So it's almost like it strikes people as more strange that we do get along than the expectation, or people are more readily accepting of there being animosity, or they almost expect that. So I guess the question comes into, you know, how do you do that? Yeah. And all I do is just kind of tell our story. And I was just like, I don't know quite how to define it, but I think it's because all of us kind of came into this or moved forward after the end of the marriage. We all kind of went into this with, again, the same mindset of like, you know, hey, you know, we all understand who we are to one another, and the fact that, you know, everybody, you know, hopefully, you know, if you're fortunate, you get to have another significant and wonderful relationship with somebody. And as you get older, the likelihood is really high that, you know, they're probably, you know, you probably do have children from a previous relationship. So if you are going to become a part of a blended family, you know, you're walking into it and accepting, like, you know, listen, this is the way it's going to be. So I respect and appreciate that you know, came into a mindset knowing that, you know, this was going to be a blended family situation. It's unique and it's special. And that's what makes you unique and special to this. And you're so much a factor into the success of our family. And I think if anything, your presence brought us, kind of nudged us along to a greater level of healing that, you know, might have taken longer to get to. But, and again, because you came in, you know, just, you were very refreshing. You were very, just, you know, very upbeat and positive. And again, you came in with this wonderful mindset. And I just appreciate you, and I appreciate what you brought to the table. It's just a treat that, you know, I got to make a friend, because it's kind of hard to, you know, for me to open up and talk to people on a personal level, and you just kind of came that way, and that's just who you are as a person. So I appreciate you being who you are. And at the end of the day, I think everybody ended up better than perhaps if it hadn't happened the way that it did. I mean, it was, everybody has their challenges when it comes to a divorce. It is not a happy time, you know, in a person's life. I wouldn't wish it on anybody, but at the end of the day, we all ended up better. And I'm confident and happy in saying that, because you guys are the family that you need to be. You guys are where you need to be. And the people in your household are exactly who needs to be there. Your world needs to be. It's the way it needs to be.
Thank you for those flowers.
And then,
but I got to give you flowers. And I know this is a very mushy
podcast.
We're going to get mushy. Because again, the security that you have, I mean, it's one of those things that you see in a person, you see it and it's genuine. You have so much, you're so secure with who you are that you did. I think what really helped me, among a lot of things, that you were okay with me participating, contributing as his mom. You were okay with, can I take him to the doctor sometime? You were okay with that. If you took him, I took him. You were okay with. And I remember one time he had something and we went together. And you were okay. And I don't know if you remember this. I won't say it. But you.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
You know, but you allowed me to be there. And I think you and Fred both have included me in this parental team, whether it's meetings that we all had to have. I'm always included in meetings. Financial decisions, you know, Fred will tell me, you guys will tell me his school, if he's, you know, had some things in school going on that we had to come together. We came together.
Oh, yeah.
So the fact that you weren't like, no, I don't want Nika to hear that. You always saw me as part of the parental team.
Oh, yeah.
Always.
Not only that.
I never felt excluded.
In fact, it dawned on me. It wasn't until like years later along the way, I realized, actually, I have more conversations with you about things involving the kids than
yeah.
I do. I mean, it could be, like you said, you know, volunteer work, you know, yeah. Hey, you know, it's time for us to, you know, pick up the cookies and, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, okay, great. Yeah, I'm bringing it. Or, you know, we're together. We're signing up for the volunteer, you know, yeah. work. So probably just on the, you know, the day-to-day routine things, I probably have more conversations with you
yeah.
than, you know, but then, yeah. you know, then bigger subjects, you know, we all get together mm-hmm. and we're having a conversation about it. And the one thing that I appreciate was, again, the fact that we were able to maintain, because we had such a good rapport and a good connection with each other, we were able to maintain consistency between the houses. Mm-hmm. So for example, you know, everything from, you know, homework or assignments that are due or something's going on, I mean, we could call each other up and say, hey, you know, here's what's going on. It's like, okay, what do you need me to mm-hmm. do? Or, okay, you know, when Marcus comes to the house, you know, what am I doing? I mean, we back each other, you know, in terms of like, you know, what's your play? Okay, I'm going to back you.
Yeah.
And that's kind of it. And I can't think of a time that we really disagreed. And I think that just kind of comes with the fact that, again, we're you know, like being like-minded. Mm-hmm. I think that that's extremely helpful. For families who are maybe trying to figure out what they want to do and how to do it, you know, the grownups, I think, need to be of like mind and agree. How are we going to approach this? Otherwise, and my other big fear was that, you know, I was worried that if things were acrimonious or we did not all get along or we weren't on the same page, I didn't want, you know, him to fall through the cracks because the grownups are busy. You know, we've got beefy with each other for whatever reason, or we're into, you know, or like, you know, today I'm not talking to so-and-so because, yeah. you know, I'm mad or I'm upset. It's like, no, that was inconceivable for me. Like I said, that would have been my concept of hell was, so basically almost yeah. every day, any indication, any phone call, everything could be a source yeah. of stress and anxiety and things could go terribly sideways. So I appreciate the fact that we could come together and have conversations, you know, when it came to parenting. I hang, you know, my sense of contentment hangs on that. Really, that made all the difference to me. And after that, I'm fine. Yeah. I'm at peace.
What do you think, when I think about, you know, I often, you know, you encounter situations where blended families don't work. And it always, and I know it's easy for things not to work right. if you're not being intentional about it. And if you don't recognize, like, these are the priorities right here. And I think a lot of people don't identify, and I don't claim to be a perfect person. And so some people may hear a situation and say, oh, you know, it couldn't have been that perfect. But it really was perfect for us.
It was
right?
pretty seamless. Again, because
really
I think
was.
Everybody walked into this with the same mindset mm-hmm. about giving, you know, again, at the time, it was, it was the one child, but we wanted to make sure that we gave him the best experience that yeah. we could, you know, best parenting experience that mm-hmm. we could. And I think that's where it starts
yeah.
because, and with the type of work that I do is, and not to go too far off the afield, but what I learned from it is one, you want to do the healing, you know, so before you engage in another relationship, you got to do the healing.
Right.
So let's not forget that. I mean, so the thing is, I think everybody, I think emotionally, spiritually, I mean, mentally, emotionally, we were all secure with ourselves before you can really become a part of another relationship.
That's
because
true.
If you have unresolved concerns or issues, or maybe something even left over from, you know, what was mm-hmm. then the relationship that gave rise to the family, if those two people, those parties don't, you know, resolve and reconcile for themselves, mm-hmm. again, because here's the thing, you know, if a person, you know, if people are married, and one thing I just realized was that we were married and then there was a time that we weren't. Dissolving a marriage does not resolve any outstanding issues that might have led to, you know, the marriage coming apart or people deciding, hey, you know, we're going to go separate ways. It's a legal proceeding that ends, that dissolves the marriage. But then after that, the people have to do the work.
Yeah.
After that, it doesn't solve the questions. It doesn't solve the issues that there's acrimony. It has nothing to do with it. It doesn't resolve any of that. So afterwards, you have to be prepared to do the work so that you're in a better place and you're ready to have another relationship. So yeah. I think that by the time all of these elements, and we all came together and we crossed paths, mm-hmm. I think everybody was just in a good place and we were all ready to, you know, continue the, you know, yeah. the parenting relationship. And that's where we connected. So if I had to say anything, you know, to anybody and share that, it would be, you know, do the work. If you meet somebody and they have children, either or if both of you have children and you're bringing a family together, you have to have a really good conversation and be ready, you know, as an individual to be a part of a relationship with somebody with children. And it's almost, and not to be mean, but it's only, and I'm not as eloquent about these things as you, but it's like, you have to get over yourself. So whatever animosity might have, you know, you might have with that other parent, you know, you can still work on those things, but at the same time, you don't want it to interfere with your ability to give the child or the children the best experience that you can.
And that's a very true statement. Everything that you said is so very true. Like you said, if you haven't healed yourself, you probably shouldn't be moving into another relationship until you've healed, because like that whole 90% that we talk about, if you don't tap into some of the bad parts of that 90%, it spills over many areas of your life. And so you got to be mindful. Sometimes things become so normalized that people don't realize that, you know what, I'm a little dysfunctional in this area, in this area, in this area. And I think when you have loving people around you, if there are some discrepancies within yourself, I would hope if I'm kind of out of line, if I'm, you know, holding on to past traumas or what have you, or, you know, I'm demonstrating behaviors that are not conducive to a healthy relationship, I would hope that someone pulls me aside and says something, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't think in life people don't want to point out, you know, let's say, you know what, you're really not ready to move into a new relationship. Yeah, you can say that to somebody, and at the same time, it's still up to them to decide if they're going to move on into a new relationship. Because a lot of times we don't have that self-awareness. We just want the pain to stop. So we want to rush into something else. But I think it's so important to be mindful after, like you said, divorce can be emotionally traumatizing, right? Because of your hearts are connected and, you know, all these things, just the ending of something, it's a death of something. Yes. And if you haven't healed from that, and you just jump into something because you don't want to experience pain, mm-hmm. you're going to do a lot of damage.
I agree, because you haven't resolved, you know, you haven't resolved what's hurting you. And sometimes you're right. Sometimes people would, well, I think my observation it can be a number of things. A person may decide to jump into another relationship to somehow prove to themselves, to the world, everything's okay, I'm fine. Like a rush to get back to normal. And you discount the work that goes into, you know, healing, the work that goes into whatever it is that, if you're still hurting, and you have to be prepared to deal with it, to do the work.
Yes, you do.
If you don't do the work, you said, it is going to spill over into the next relationship. And sometimes it's very tempting mm-hmm. to just rush into, see, either whether you're proving it to yourself or you're proving it to your peers or your family or to the world, whatever. Sometimes people just rush into it like, see, everything's fine, I'm okay.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily going to be okay. So you do the work so that you're ready and, yeah. you know, you're in the best position. And again, for families who are going to do the, you know, be a blended family, hopefully the adults, the grown-ups have had a conversation, or at least everybody knows that they're going to be on the same page, because really the priority, you know, would be the kids. You want to make sure that the children Absolutely. Are the priority. And again, it's not about you anymore. So whatever it is that yeah. led to the dissolution of the relationship, it's not about you guys anymore. Mm. Or even if you do take the time, go ahead and take the time to heal and do that. But when it comes to the kids, and this is something that, I mean, even before I met you, very, very early on,
we were in the middle of, you know, just where everything was really, really raw.
And I remember the one thing that started to give me peace was I said, listen, you know, whatever is going on, I don't care if we're, you know, upset with each other, mad, or we're not getting, or whatever. I said, if there's something going on and we need to have a conversation about our son, I said, my promise to you, I said, it is up to you if you're, if you want to do it as well, but I'm promising you that if something's going on and we need to talk, I will contact you. I'll call you. Even if I got to literally go do a timeout, I said, listen, whatever it is that, you know, that we're in the middle of, I said, I promise you to take a time out. I want our safe space. I want our safe opportunity to talk. It's just, you know, our son. So if there's something we need to talk about, my promise to you is I'm not going to keep anything from you. I will, you know, we're going to have that conversation. And I just, because I said, my fear is that I don't want us, you know, for whatever reason, we're not talking. And then there's something that you need to know. I want to make sure that you know. So the safe place is timeout. If we got to literally call a timeout and say, listen, I need to talk to you about XYZ. And that was a promise that I made really early on. And, you know, he agreed. And that is like the first thing that gave me peace. Yeah. And I said, you know what? After that, I'm okay with whatever else happens. I'm okay.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I ever shared this with you, but the other thing that actually demonstrated that moment of peace where we could work together regardless of what was going on was it was literally 9/11. Mm. And I remember, you know, everybody remembers, you know, everybody can say, I know where I was. I know what I was doing when 9/11 happened. But the thing that really made a difference to me is that everything was really raw. We're in the middle of everything. And, you know, my world was upside down. And I remember that I had gone to work. Our son was in daycare. He was really small. He was really little. He was like just past a toddler age. Mm-hmm. And 9/11 happened. So everything was happening that day, like as it was happening in the moment. And he was at daycare. And I remember that that was maybe the first big test of our ability to work together. Mm-hmm. So despite everything that was happening in that moment, and it was so raw with us, I remember we were back and forth on the phone coordinating how it is that we were going to get him from daycare. And I remember his dad said, look, you know, I don't care which one of us does, whoever can get to him first. I said, you know, let's just pick him up. And I said, I don't care if he's at my house or your house or whatever. He said, wherever I am, I said, just let me know. And it was just that moment of like crunch time. It's like, boom, it came down to it. We're working together. I remember we were on the phone constantly, just back and forth, all these phone calls to coordinate, making sure that he was safe. So, you know, we were able to get him picked up and get him, you know, safe and at home. And then I remember it just so happened that he was at a daycare that was closer to where my parents were. So I got on the phone with my family and they worked it out. So they were able to pick him up. So he and I were on the phone and I said, okay, listen, they're picking up right now. He said, call me the minute they get home.
Yes.
And the minute I saw them drive up, I was on the phone. I said, they're here. They're here. They're here. You know, it was just, you know, it was crunch time. It was very a crisis. Yes. I mean, everybody was in crisis. But the thing after that, I think if anything, that was another level of peace that I got. So regardless of what was going on between us in that moment, the fact that I knew that I could, you know, we could have that kind of transparency and that kind of candor with each other and to have that conversation to make sure he was okay. And to me, it proved, I said, you know what? I think it's going to be okay. I said, despite anything else that happens, I think it's going to be okay. Yeah. I got so much peace from knowing that we could have that conversation and we could talk. So that was one. So if anything, I would say, you know, whatever it is that's going on, you know, that the parents have got, the grown-ups have got to be able to talk.
Yeah.
And I never really, you know, told that many people about that because it was just so raw and so
turning
personal.
Point.
Yeah, it was. But it was huge because even in light of the fact that it was just one of the most disastrous things for, you know, everybody, I got so much peace out of that. And I was okay after that. Yeah. It really helped me to heal, helped me to feel a lot better about the fact that we would move on because I got a lot of peace out of knowing that I could work with this person. We can be parents. And then, you know, you came along and you added to that. And if anything, again, you added another layer of healing. You kind of expedited our ability to heal. Well, I don't know quite how to explain it, but that's like,
when I came into the picture, you guys were doing it very nicely. You know, I think we're all mature people. We still have, you know, we still feel stuff, of course, and things be raw. But I feel like you said, Marcus was always the center.
Yeah, he was the priority.
Definitely the priority.
Yeah, and that gave me a lot of peace. So really all, you know, the center, you know, the focal point, at least for me, has always been, you know, as long as he's okay and as long as everybody is making sure that he's having the best experience that we can come up with, I'm okay.
And the fact that you can, you could recognize, because I think a lot of people don't take advantage of those warm moments to heal. Like you took advantage of that, you know, 9/11, and you said, wow, you accepted that that felt right. It felt good that you guys worked together. And a lot of people don't take advantage of those good moments to build on. And the fact that you could take that moment and build on that, that made the difference. And so when you think about it, it was just, okay, now we can, you know, you can keep on, you can take the next step and the next step. You don't have to assume the whole staircase, but that was a step in the right direction. So, yeah, so like I said, when I came in, it was peaceful to me. I'm going to be honest, had I come into a situation where you was flipping tables, you were this crazy ex-wife, I could not have taken that at all. But the way that Fred handled Marcus, the way I saw how he was as a father, I was like, wow. Because like I said, I didn't have my dad around like that. So I always said to myself, you know, whoever I marry, at first I didn't want to date nobody with kids. Let me be honest with you.
Right.
No. When I was younger, I'm like, I didn't want to date nobody with kids because I want to be the first one. Right. You know, all that silliness. So I shouldn't say it's silly. If someone feels that way, that's how they feel. But that's how I felt. But when I met Fred and I saw how good he was with Marcus, I mean, he was a good dad. I'm like, wow, I've never seen a black dad like this. No offense to black dads, but I didn't have a good experience with, you know, my father was loving, but he wasn't, you know, he didn't have what I saw in Fred. He didn't have that. But I love my dad. Let me just say that. So when I saw that, I'm like, ooh. So there was like icing on the cake. And then Marcus was, like I said, he was such a sweet kid and he was just so kind and sweet. He was just very kind and sweet and very curious. So what would you say to a mother who has to, how were you able to open yourself up to having me? Was it ever hard for you to accept me in certain capacities? Did you ever feel like, man, I just wanted to be me and Fred talking about this and not Nika? Did you ever feel that way?
No.
You didn't?
No. No.
And again, I think, truth is, you
sorry, no, we're Fred and I promise there's nothing else to it. It's like, no. There were just so many, like, just like all the little things just kind of culminated into everything from, again, you know, Marcus was so young and just the fact that he would say, my Nika. And that gave me a really strong inclination that, you know what, yeah, this person's on the up and up. Because here's the thing, you can't fake stuff with a kid. You know, if you were holding a pose and you were faking and you were being disingenuous, it just wouldn't have been that way. So really, I was taking my cue from him and the way that he felt about you. And clearly, that was what you were expressing to him. So that was my first inclination. I was like, yeah, okay, yeah, you know, my Nika, she's okay. And that's kind of it. But no, I mean, to answer the question, no, I just didn't, only because it came to enjoy, you know, getting to know you as a person. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, it was just, I don't know, it was just pretty seamless. And like I said, at the end of the day, everything worked out for the better. I believe that everything came together and our lives, our paths crossed the way that it should have. And this is the way that it should be. This is this is the better situation, the better scenario for everybody.
Yeah.
And I've given it a lot of thought. I did a lot of soul searching and there are a lot of things I've discovered about myself. And I was like, you know what? I remember we were having a conversation about something one day and I thought it, but I never realized I'd said it before. And I think I said something to the effect of, you know, you're better suited, you know, for him than I was, because I came to recognize, you know, day to day, we worked well together, but you're the person that is best suited for him day to day in a relationship and a marriage. And that's not what it was for us. I mean, we have an excellent working relationship. I can't think, and I even have said to him, I said, I can't think of a time that we disagreed on much, everything from parenting to decisions to school to homework to discipline, bedtime. You know, everything was so consistent across the board from house to house. Inconsistency. So if anything, really simple things for families, blended families, or if there are parents sharing, you know, parenting time and children are, you know, a child is at one house and then they're at another parent's house, if anything, consistency for the child. Yeah. Because if the child is experiencing like different bedtimes or just different things from, you know, either, you know, discipline or, you know, here's the approach, you know, homework. I mean, just trying to maintain consistency so that, again, the child's experience is as consistent as you can make it between the homes. And then the only other thing that I can think of that I would share, and I think maybe part of why I was ready to accept a blended family scenario is because it didn't hit me until later because it was so normal. I have a brother from my dad's previous marriage, but growing up, no one ever said that's your half brother. That's your, you know, no one ever said that. That's just my brother. That's it. Mm. So I grew up with the concept of that's my brother and that's the end of it. And as a kid, I mean, and it wasn't until I was probably a young adult that it occurred to me. I was like, oh, hold on. Because nobody made it, the grownups didn't make a big deal out of it. Nobody made a difference. So I think maybe unconsciously without knowing that I had already, you know, I had a predisposition to be accepting of this because if the grownups aren't making a big deal out of it or making a difference, you know, between the kids or the households or whatever, then the children are going to accept, oh, this is, like you said, this is the norm. This is the way that it is. So the child is not going to necessarily be overly aware of because nobody's making a difference.
That's right.
So that made so that's my two cents on it. And maybe that's why I was accepting.
We were all just very, like you said, very intentional about just being mature, respecting each other's. We were just very intentional about that. But as we fast forward a bit, when Marcus was an only child for 7 years, and I remember, you know, having, you know, Julius and you helping out at my baby shower. And again, those were, you know, things started to progress. You were helping out with the baby shower. You know, me and you were still doing volunteering with, you know, Marcus. But, you know, you were very supportive of Julius. You know, a lot of people think it's, you know, I don't think everyone thinks it's strange. But when they hear Julius and Honor saying Auntie Mill, you know, that kind of thing. You know, my sister loves you. My mom loves you. We, you know, with my sister, you know, you're like her sister. So we're all just like have adopted you as our sister.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, you, I remember you looked at me one day and you just said, oh, it's official. You're adopted.
You are.
You're just like another sister. I was like,
you are. And
that was like kind of the end of it. So I appreciate you including me in that capacity because again, and I love that the kids call me Auntie Mills. It's like, yeah, it's my niece and my nephew. I have another niece and a nephew.
Yeah. And then Fred is very, you know, when, you know, there are some issues, we call an Auntie Mill. We're going to call Auntie Mill about this. Okay.
And I appreciate being in the loop because again, I'm thrilled for the kids. And again, you know, the emphasis is on the kids and whatever we can do to give the kids the best experience that we can. I'm all for it.
That's what we do.
Encouraging. And the thing is, I also realize, I think now that, you know, all the kids are older, I just feel like, you know, I can just kind of throw a little more of my two cents and just like, okay, young people,
Well, and they need that. They need that. But when you think about it, as we kind of wind down a little bit, you know, Marcus, you know, graduates high school. And one of the things I remember saying is like, listen, I know our relationship was initiated because we were the moms, right? I was stepmom, you're a mom. But after that, I remember saying to you, listen, just because he has graduated high school, we have a relationship. This will continue.
Yeah, you didn't know you were stuck. I mean, so you really stuck with me now.
we lie first, right? So it was like, there's no changing. Just, you know, before it was, we came together because of that.
Right.
But now it's because We sisters.
Yeah. And I appreciate you accepting me in that capacity, because this might be a whole other conversation, because it's like I have a brother, but we didn't have that growing up in the same household experience, like day-to-day sibling relationship. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate that sibling dynamic. So I'm learning something about having that kind of a connection with a person. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate you guys giving me a glimpse into that dynamic of, you know, having, you know, a sister.
Sibling, yeah.
And that's real. And I appreciate that.
And that's real. And it feels good. And it feels genuine. When me and Felicia said, call me? Yes, we are calling Neil. So that's, like I said, that's, you know, we're the three amigos when we hang out and do things together.
I've had a wonderful time. Your family is wonderful, and they are loving, and they are just. I've had so much fun. It's hard to describe, but it's just. I was like, you guys are so stuck with me.
But guess what? Your mom calls me sometimes. What? She calls me her daughter-in-law. She calls me daughter-in-law.
Well, again, it just makes it easier. And here's actually, it's so funny, because it's like, again, for us, it's not that big a deal. And I think it's maybe a testament to the fact that, you know, it's awkward. Sometimes I think people feel awkward. Like, for example, I know we're supposed to be winding down, but yeah, the story is that kind of the whole part of, like, I would go up to the school or something for like one of the kids, and people, their perception, we're so interchangeable to the point that sometimes people have called me, oh, Mrs. So-and-so. And I would try, every time I attempted to explain, these poor people, I think I'm making it better, because they're like, oh no, actually I'm so-and-so. And by the time I get done explaining, these people look mortified. They're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm thinking, no, I'm not upset. I'm just trying to tell you. And they look like they'd rather jump out of a second story window than take any more be trying to explain, because now they're awkward. I was just like, you know what? I feel bad because they're awkward. I think I'm making it better, and apparently I'm not. So I kind of gave up on trying to correct people and say, no, I'm not Mrs. So-and-so. No, I'm Marcus's mom. And then all of a sudden, then they get really weirded out. And then I try to explain, and it's just a hot mess. So I stopped doing that. So I figured, I just keep going.
Yeah.
And that's kind of it. So again, I think I take it as a compliment, because if people can't tell the difference, I think that means we're doing something right.
Yeah.
And that's it.
So if we had to, you know, give a short statement, like for me as a stepmom, I feel like if I had to talk to someone that's going into a blended family, I would say, ask yourselves some real tough questions before going into that relationship, because there may, you know, you are a part of the parental team. You want to make sure that you know that you are part of the parental team. Everybody does things differently. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important that, you know, that the stepmom make sure that they express that they want to be a part of the team, that they want to add to the good experience. You have to want to add to the good experience. You got to be secure in being the stepmom. You got to be secure in that. You got to be okay with, you know, because they're, like, for instance, sometimes Marcus will tell you something that I'm like, what did you tell me?
And then he'll do the same thing you'll have. Like, you'll tell me, it's like, yeah, such and such. It's like, I mean, he didn't tell me. Look
at that. But you have to be like, okay.
But I think.
You got to tell us. Just because he tell my mom something, he ain't got to tell me. Maybe he'll get around to it.
But then it's funny, because I think, and you touched on it in Marcus's, and you know, his podcast, in his segment, is that I think because each one of us kind of has our own strength, you know, our own strengths that we bring to the table, that he kind of turns to the person who's like better suited for that, you know,
you are
for the situation in the moment. And I had to kind of, that. Yeah, I had to get accustomed. I was like, you know what? Yeah, but you know what? One of us is better at doing this, and one of us is better at doing this kind of thing. Yeah. And again, my hope is that, you know, the kids are getting the benefit of the best experience that we can give them. And I just keep coming back to that. And the other thing too is that really credit has to be given to, you know, that person, that spouse who, you know, Marcus's dad chose you. He said, you know what? This is the person that I want to be a part of my life. So it really also comes down to the person who really brings all of these people together. they have to, you know, make a wise decision. They have to say, you know, is this a person who's going to be a good fit for our family?
And it also
comes down to that. So it's not just us putting in the effort, but it really started with, you know, you guys crossed paths and, you know, he asked, you accepted, he chose you, you guys chose each other. And you walked into this, you know, with the goal of making it work.
And that's the goal. As a stepmom, I didn't see myself as a stepmom. I saw, and that makes the difference, you not to see yourself as a stepmom, because the whole stepmom doesn't have a good reputation, right? So I didn't see myself as a stepmom. I saw myself as a mom, right?
Right.
So I think you have to go in with that mindset that this is your child.
Yes.
You are going to love him, her. You're going to parent. You're going to, they're going to see some good parts of you and some bad parts of you. You're going to apologize when you get it wrong. You're going to make sure you don't, you know, when other kids come to the pitch, you got to make sure you don't show favoritism. So you got to be so intentional, because it could have very well been, okay, Nika's going to have this baby and, you know, how's she going to treat Marcus? Not that you thought that, but again, that could be. You got to make sure that this child is being treated fairly.
Right.
All across the board. Right. So I think that's what's so key.
Yeah.
So, but as a mom, what advice, if you can give us like 40 seconds of what kind of advice, that's a long time, 40 seconds. What kind of advice would you give someone who's the former wife and having to share your son with another woman, basically? What advice would you give?
If you're fortunate, you get to be friends, because it's a working relationship. And the thing is, you have to think about, okay, if this person is going to be a part of our lives, it depends on how, like, whether the kids are, you know, 16 and a half and, you know, legally, you know, the kids are going to be 18 years old. I mean, the thing is, you guys are going to be living with each other for a really, really long time.
Reality.
And you have to, and you have to make a decision for yourself whether or not if you want to spend that time with things being acrimonious, if you wanted to be drama, if you always wanted to be a source of tension or anxiety, or if you want peace. That is your decision. And that is on nobody else but you, because really it takes two to tango. Say, for example, for what, heaven forbid, you know, one person, you know, in this equation doesn't want that, but it takes both people to engage. So, you know, if you're fortunate, you get to be friends, but you have to be prepared. Because again, it's the end of the relationship. It's like, well, what else are you going to do? Fight all the time. And again, it's even with, you know, the other parent. You have to make a decision about whether or not if you want peace and you want to move forward and do the healing, which means you got to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on you. So I'm not saying it to be mean, but you really have to do the work, and you make a decision about if you really want peace or if you're going to be okay for the next several years until those kids are, you know, 18, 21, 25 and every big event.
Yeah.
If you want peace or if you really want to, you know, kind of get over yourself, do the work.
Yeah.
Because it also helps that person move on.
You do have to determine the social and emotional experience you want that child to have. And the experience that you want, like you said, Millicent, the peace is priceless.
Absolutely.
And when you think about how can I maintain the peace in these relationships, there has to be a level of respect. There has to be a level of intention. And I think that has to be ongoing. And it's not hard if that's what you practice. It's really not hard. If you and communicate, just communicate. So, you know, sometimes there's some difficult conversations to have.
And you're really good at broaching that. Like for me, I'm more avoiding like a tough subject. So it takes a really, you know, you have to really, really nudge me and kind of corner me to get me to talk about a, you know, more challenging subject. But I appreciate that. Again, you bring that to the table. You really facilitate it. Again, a lot of healing, a lot of talking, a lot of openness and a willingness to talk. And, you know, I think we've all been pretty good at creating a safe space so that we can talk about stuff. Because again, you know, if the grown-ups aren't talking, then the kids suffer. So it's not about, you know, beefing with this other person because I'm mad at you about whatever. It's a matter of, you know, making the kids the priority.
Yeah.
And everybody making a commitment to do that, even if you explicitly say that. And sometimes it takes that. And if you can do that, then I think people are going to be okay.
I really do too. I do. I believe that. And so I hope for our listeners out there that you receive some golden nuggets from my conversation with Millicent, Mom One, and I'm Mom Two.
Yep.
Thank you so much for joining us on today's episode. If you enjoyed the story time, don't forget to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Leave us a review and share with your friends to help us reach more listeners. Stay tuned for more insightful stories. Until next time. Take care and keep exploring new connections with us.